It's great to be here in the midst of my brothers and sisters at Albany Church. I have some familiar faces here, and it is my great pleasure to be here. We worship the Lord with full heart and joy because we are standing and that's gathered together before our Heavenly Father. And we are brothers and sisters. And this is actually the moment in the world that we foretaste heaven. This will be the moment that we foretaste heaven. So let us remember that every time we gather together in worship. So as we heard the word of the Lord, and as we will humble ourselves before the word expounded to us, let us all join in prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word. And help us to be blessed as you inscribe those words onto our hearts. So be with us, Father, for we pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. This 121st Psalm is one of the best known and loved Psalms of the Bible. I believe many of you here have been comforted by and strengthened with the words of this Psalm. And what makes this psalm special is simplicity of its form, its style, and richness of its message. So I seek the Lord's wisdom and grace as we follow the words of this psalm, expounding verse by verse. Surely our Lord, who is glorious in his might, yet tender in his mercy, will enrich us with his heavenly treasure. And he will lead us to conclude and say at the end, as we leave this room, and will say, "My help comes from the Lord," which is the sole message of this psalm we've just read. This psalm is subtitled as a song of ascents, which means it was a song sung by Israel, the people of the Old Testament church, especially when they approached the Lord's temple in Jerusalem for worship. There are 13 more psalms that are called songs of ascents. The pilgrims traveled up to Jerusalem. Just picture that in your mind. The pilgrims traveled up to Jerusalem, and seeing that city stood on the mountain, or picturing in their minds the city while they were still in the distance, saying these words, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help." And then they answered, singing and saying these, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Just picture it in your mind. It was truly important for them to remember the fountainhead of their help and blessing. And as much as remembering it was vital for their life in the Lord, understanding and applying the same is truly essential for us who follow and worship the same God in this 21st century world. And knowing the origin of our help is the key to our spiritual joy. Knowing from where our help comes makes us wise, thus stable in our heart and soul, not being tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine of this world. And such knowledge gives to us a clear reason why we should always trust our God and hope in Him. So the words of this psalm must be read and meditated by all believers all the time. And now let us move into the treasury of our gracious Lord. Verse 1 begins, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help." The very first thing you need to take notice from this verse is that everyone who wants to know the source of his or her help must lift his or her eyes up and away from oneself. We need to look away from ourselves to find the source of our help. True help comes from without than within a person. So instead of looking inward, we must look away and up to find the source of our help. Unfortunately, this is the exact opposite to the idea of this world. The world admires self-reflection or venerates self-enlightenment, encouraging people to search themselves for the answers for their quests. The world rejects the idea of looking beyond people's self. So the world says, stop the search, find your answers within you, instead of lifting your eyes up to the hills. Thus the world advises with words like these: if you believe in yourself, you can turn your dreams into a plan and your plan into your reality. But that's not true. It's a lie. We must lift up our eyes to the hills and look to the only one who can help and bless, God the Father. The psalmist thus says, I will, or simply I, lift up my eyes to God, who alone is able to bless me and all who look to him for help. By this we are urged not to look within ourselves, because no one can help himself, because there is nothing within us that might be of use. Why isn't there anything helpful within us? Because of our sin of rejecting our gracious, great Creator God, who alone is good. And by rejecting him, by breaking ourselves away from him, there is nothing good in us. We are incapable of producing anything valuable. Hear the verdict of the righteous God on people, recorded in the scriptures. First, in Genesis 6, verse 5. This is the word that came through the mouth of the Lord. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And second, in Psalm 5, verse 9. There is no truth in people's mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. So it is more than right for all Christians to agree and say, together with the psalmist, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. And then the verse 2 answers, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The answer we know, both the psalmist and us of Albany PC, is this: my help, our help comes from the Lord. And who is this God? He is the one who made heaven and earth by his wisdom and power. He created all by his outstretched arm, the living Lord, in a word. He is the King and Lord of all his created universe. And from him alone comes my help, our help. And this is what people of the world reject. They think that God is either dead or impotent. They lie to themselves and regard their own hands as the only help available. They replace God's power and comfort with the material of this world. And they seek satisfaction of their hearts from its abundance, the abundance of material, having completely rejected the truth that the Lord owns it all. Sometimes the material abundance seems to be helpful with its purchasing power, that seems efficient and even sufficient. But anything of the world that satisfies people is an illusion, like a mirage that rises over the desert horizon. It seems to vitalize people's eyes and their hearts, but chasing it, all die of thirst, if not of despair. But the Lord who made heaven and earth helps and gives satisfaction without end to all who lift their eyes up and look to him. He is gracious and merciful. His wisdom will never be short. His comfort will never run out. But man's self-help never satisfies his heart at all, not even for a moment. It only adds more thirst. So the God who helps us is alive and powerful, though he seems to be silent and invisible. And verse 3 continues, "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." And this is the sort of help we receive from the Lord. The psalmist says in verse 3 clearly, "He will not allow our foot to be moved. He who keeps us will not slumber. His eyes are always upon us, and his arms are always around us." Now, let me tell you this story I heard from a missionary who served in Africa for more than a decade. It was not long after his arrival at his mission field. While he was still new to the region, he had to go alone to another town, which would take several hours to reach by car. The situation was not really good, but he had to go, so he left. A few hours later, his car stopped, and he couldn't fix the problem. The contingency plan for such a case was that he remained in the car for rescue. But this missionary decided to walk back home because he thought it wasn't that far to walk. But soon he found it wasn't so in a jungle. The sun went down quickly and darkness covered everything. But he kept following the trail backward and walked all night. Early in the morning, still dark, he finally arrived at an elder's house in the village where he had stayed. He knocked on the door, and opening the door, the elder looked truly puzzled. He asked this, "Reverend so-and-so, why are you here?" The missionary gave a brief explanation. Then the elder asked, "Did you walk all night from there?" "Yes," replied the missionary. Then the elder raised his arms to heaven and exclaimed, "This is a miracle of God. Thank you, Father." And do you know why he said that? Because the jungle this missionary walked all night was the area even the indigenous people would hardly dare to walk alone in the daytime. And at night, lions, hyenas, and leopards swarm. And hearing it, the missionary's heart and soul became overwhelmingly warm, and he and the local elder gave thanks to God the Lord who mercifully kept his every step in the jungle, in the darkness. Truth is that this is what our Heavenly Father does while we walk on this spiritually dark world. Many of us have already experienced it in our life, and some of us might be experiencing it right now in their life. Although we don't walk through swarming beasts, we tread on this sin-saturated, dangerous world. In many cases, we don't usually take notice of God's guidance. He's keeping our every step. We don't usually take notice. But later, when everything is done and over, we look back and realize his helping and guiding hand. And seeing it, finding it, we breathe a deep sigh of relief and give thanks to the Lord God Almighty for his guidance and protection, don't we? The claws of danger have almost touched us, but God never slumbers, but embraces us in his mighty hand, carrying us through. So our help comes from the Lord, and our Lord helps his beloved day and night, not asleep. Not a single step we move does our Heavenly Father miss. And having said, the verse 4 continues, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And the psalmist stresses this once again in the following verse, in verse 4, saying this, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." It is Israel he keeps, his own people who are adopted into his family through faith, to be called as his sons and daughters, being washed by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord God keeps, watches over, takes care of, protects and preserves us, the spiritual Israel. For this reason, the Lord Jesus prayed one last time before his suffering and death, as recorded in John 17, in these words, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their word." This is surely a wonder if you think about this. People say that there are a certain number of wonders in the world, but this saying that our Father God neither slumbers nor sleeps in keeping his children is the wonder incomparable with anything of the world. So in Psalm 8 verse 4, the psalmist marvels and says this, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him or care for him?" Again in Psalm 144 verse 3, "Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him?" The sovereign God, the creator God, the ruler of the whole world, always watches over us. Who we are? Who are we? We are mere mortals. But sovereign God always watches over. And this is a picture that shows his sheer mercy and grace toward us. It's the greatest wonder. In fact, the only wonder, because nothing in the world could be compared to it. And for this reason, the psalmist begins this fourth verse saying, "Behold, look, see how deep his love is for you and me. Remember God's eyes and hands over and around you and me in every moment of our life. Any dark moment in our life is never dark because the Lord is with us always." And then, having said, the psalmist speaks to his fellow believers like you and me in verse 5. And he understands the Lord's gracious helping hand and realizes deep and never-changing love. He urges us to know what he knows and to enjoy what he truly enjoys. So he continues this from verse 5 to the end of the psalm. And verse 5 says, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." The very first point the psalmist tells us is that the Lord God is our keeper. Saying this, you must hear and sense the psalmist's joy and amazement. Every word is dipped and saturated with a delightful discovery of his wonder. The Lord of the universe, who made heaven and earth by his power and wisdom, is your keeper. In the Hebrew Old Testament, this joy is even vocalized, saying this, "Adonai Shamreka." Adonai Shamreka. The Lord is your keeper. Now, this is why the psalmist says in another well-known psalm that even though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he will fear no evil. You know which psalm that is? Such is shown also through Daniel the prophet's life and his walk into the lion's den then, not fearing their claws nor their fangs, yet depending on the helping hand of the Lord, who neither slumbers nor sleeps in keeping his children. This confidence and joy is never known to the hearts of the unbelievers who reject the Father and the Son. But through faith in Jesus, you know this joy. You have the same confidence the psalmist and Daniel had. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The psalmist adds more pictures to this in verse 6, saying this, "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." The sun and the moon, which shine all the days and hours of our life, cannot and shall not harm us, because the God who owns them all and runs them all is on our side. He protects us. So once he protects us, who or which of this world could touch us and harm us? None. None of the curses, calamities, and judgments recorded in the whole Bible will scratch us. None of them. The Apostle Paul is clear about this, as he says in Romans 8, saying this: I'm sure that neither death nor life. When he begins saying this, neither death nor life, it includes everything. It's from the beginning and the end of each individual. And he says, I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? God spoke and declared his great blessing upon his own in Deuteronomy 33 verse 14 in these words: God will bless his children with the choicest fruits of the sun and the rich yield of the mountains. Our believing hearts and souls ought to be filled with joy of the Lord hearing this. We sometimes say the illness, the inability, incapability of our bodies and our situations, bad situations, are not the part of the blessing of God. But in fact, they are. Whatever that we receive from the Lord is the best thing for all of us. It strengthens us. It builds us up in the Lord. It deepens our dependence on God. Everything is for our good. So God says, with the choicest fruits of the sun and the rich yield of the months, I will bless my children, you and me. Then verse 7 continues, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. This God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, but keeps his people, will guide and protect them from all evil. Nothing can escape when God says this word, all. When he says this, he includes each and every evil you can think of, including the Satan. Isn't this familiar to your ears with the words of Colossians 1 verse 13, which says that the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love? The Lord Jesus teaches us in John 10, verses 29 and 30, saying this: My Father, who has given them, that is my sheep, to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. No evil, therefore, can touch us. We are firmly hidden in the mighty hands of the Lord God Almighty. Thus the sting of death is gone to the hearts and eyes of believers. So we in the Lord declare and say, O death, where is your sting? Death has simply become the shadow of death to you and me who have the Lord Jesus' eternal life through faith. The very last verse, verse 8, which says this: The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore, is the conclusion of what has been pointed out so far, and its application in our everyday living. You and I walk out and walk in. You go out and come in with such a confidence in the Lord, with such a joy in the Lord. Remember where your help comes from, the Lord God Almighty. Remember who protects you, the Lord God Almighty. Remember in what way he keeps you. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, but is near you now and forevermore. So you are free from all evil now and forever. So with the words of Philippians 4 verse 4, too much for you and all true believers of the Lord Jesus, when he says and asks, rejoice in the Lord always, again I will say rejoice. No, not at all. That's why Philippians 3 verse 1 tells us that rejoicing in the Lord always is safe or secure in the Lord. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, our help is from neither ourselves nor the temporal things of this world. Our help comes from the very hand of the Almighty God. So trust Him who has saved you and drawn you to His bosom. Go out and come in today and tomorrow in this firm confidence in the Lord God, our gracious keeper. Yet still, if any of you has any doubt about this confidence, I urge you to remember and look to Jesus, the Son, who died on the cross. And hear this word recorded in Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Every word, I mean, everything that is recorded, including in the words of this psalm. Everything. Jesus' blood shed for us guarantees the sureness of every word in this psalm. And every part of the whole Bible. So let us lift our eyes up to the hill and look to him who died, yet rose again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, and through him, our Father. And let us rejoice because he is our help now and eternity. And this is our confession. My help, our help, comes from the Lord God Almighty. So please join me in prayer.